Today we'll be looking at the book Hosea from the Bible. So before we start reading any book in the Bible, we must always know and keep in mind when, where, who, and why this book was written. Basically, we have to look at the big picture first before looking at the smaller things in detail. Because the Bible is all about the history of God and His people after the creation, it is important to know when, where, and why that book was written in the Bible in order for us to understand the true messages correctly. But unfortunately, there are many books which doesn't specify which author or when the book was written. So it can be a little trickier to interpret the meaning correctly, but the book Hosea precisely tells us when and who wrote the book. So let's start looking at the first three chapters of the book, Hosea, together and learn the core messages. So the chapter 1 verse 1 says, "The word of the Lord that came to Hosea the son of Beeri during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, king of Israel." So the Bible says that Hosea was present at the times when Uzziah, Jotham, and Ahaz, and Hezekiah were the kings of Judah. So he was there until the North Israel was completely destroyed. For the North Israel kings, Jeroboam II is mentioned, so not only Hosea but the prophet Amos also worked during this time period. Same with the prophet Isaiah and Micah. So if we look at it geographically, the prophet Isaiah and Micah were sent to the south Judah, and the prophet Hosea and Amos were sent to north Israel. And just to prevent any confusion, the last king of north Israel is also named Hosea, but he is a different person to the prophet Hosea we'll be talking about today. And just for a recap, the king Jeroboam Jeroboam II was the fourth king of the Jehu dynasty, but his ruling period is said to be the golden time of the country, and he earned the most glory at the time. In the Old Testament, a lot of prophets are introduced, but they just have one same purpose. God sent these prophets not when God's promises were obeyed or followed, but when their disobedience went out of the boundary and they were getting closer to death and destruction. So all of these prophets shout out that disobedience is a pathway to death, so with God's love, we should all come back to Him. However, each prophet had their own way of warning people about the crisis that could occur if they continue to obey and reject God. The prophet Amos warned about the unbiased punishments quite firmly, but the prophet Hosea shared his embarrassing and shameful stories of his life to tell people to listen out for God's heart through their life and try to understand why God did such things. So the scholars call Amos as the prophet of justice and Hosea as the prophet of love. When we read through the Bible in detail, we could fall into a dilemma because at one stage God warns us with frightening punishments, and then on the other side He wants to give all His love to us. So all the prophets who were sent, they also mentioned the scary punishments, but they always also mentioned that they will be recovered and restored as well. This is very similar to what the parents do to their children. They want to educate the kids properly, so they try to be really strict, but then they also want to understand them and give them love rather than scolding them. The reason why God does both is because He treats us like His children and His people. To be honest, instead of sending the prophets, God could have used all His mighty powers to do anything He wanted to do at the time, but why doesn't He work like that? It's because God doesn't like or want to control people or force them to do anything. He respects everyone as an individual and gives them free will to make the right decisions for themselves, which share the same values of God. So he sees each one of us as a special and valuable human beings. People always think when it comes to religion, they have to act on it to earn some kind of blessing. But God doesn't work that way. So people nowadays often misunderstand the Holy Spirit and believe that when the Holy Spirit comes to them, it will change them and transform them into a very holy and spiritual person, no matter whether they want it or not. But the Holy Spirit also doesn't control or restrict humans in any way. Instead, the Holy Spirit gives people freedom to choose the good and act on it for themselves. God wouldn't just give us freedom and then control us the next day and then make our freedom pointless. So we must not misunderstand the Holy Spirit and build our knowledge and wisdom from the Bible to understand who God is and how He works through us. God is not a loving God, but that love doesn't mean He'll destroy the justice just to cover up people's sins. He showed His true love through Jesus dying on the cross and forgiving our sins and giving us salvation. So from the cross, we see people who are so thankful and willing to live with God and repent of their sins, but we also need to see that God doesn't approve or allow sin at all, so He will even sacrifice life of Jesus just to free us from the sins. We should see His determination to not coexist with the sins. His love towards us doesn't mean compromising with our sins. That's why God is sending the prophets to those people who still insist on living however they want, to tell them the words of life, God's heart, and His sincerity. Even after all His effort to try to convince people to return to the arms of God, because people still reject God, instead of destroying everyone and everything, He sent Jesus and made Him walk through all the pain and sacrifice His life to complete God's unbiased love. Why? Because to God, to His people, and our life is so precious and valuable, and He just loves us so much. So the cross is not like a soap that could wash off all our sins from us. The cross is a way of God showing His love to us. So just like how God sent the prophets and cried out with pity, calling us to return to Him, we shouldn't think that we could live however we want and still hope for a place in heaven just by coming to church or doing some good thing. So it's important for us to not misunderstand the meaning of the cross, and we should always try to understand how God might have felt through the stories of the prophet. So Hosea's mission from God was rather interesting and unusual. God told the prophet Hosea to meet the woman who was continuously cheating on men and get married to her and have kids. The chapter 1 verse 2 says, "When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, 'Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord.'" God ordered Hosea to do such thing so that he could see and experience how people at the time were living and to basically see the world with their eyes to help Hosea understand how to help the people in most suitable ways. And about Hosea's mission, some argue that this order towards him really happened, but then the other scholars argue that this is only like a metaphor that they used to realize the unbending, stubborn Israelites at the time. Obviously, we can't change any hard missions and treat them like a metaphor that God used. So if we believe that this actually happened, we should remember that the Bible has things that only that applies to everyone, and there are some things that only apply to a specific person at a specific time in the history. The things that apply to everyone are the ones we must obey, no matter when or where or who listens to it. And we need to be able to differentiate the words from the Bible that were only for those people at the time just like how he told Hosea to marry a prostitute and form a family, or maybe Jesus' mission to die on the cross. So this is what the Lord said to them, not to us. There are some people who doesn't know the historical background of the stories in the Bible, and they just open up the Bible and think that the first verse they see is the word of the day given by God. So what would that person think, or how would that person become, if one day he opened the Bible and he said, go marry an obscene woman and have a children with her. And then he closes and then opens again to see what you're about to do, do quickly. This is from the book John chapter 13 verse 27 at the last feast with Jesus before Judas sold Jesus for money. This is why it's important to look at the big picture first and not before we look at the details. This is why we shouldn't use the Bible as some kind of fortune telling or foretelling things. We must always check when, where, who, and why this book was written in the Bible. Notice the flow of history at the time and double check if it is the word for everyone or just for that person at the time. Otherwise, the Bible will be telling us the right thing, but we'll be doing random things and committing sin without knowing. So whether this order for Hosea was real or just a metaphor is uncertain, but it is sure that people who were meant to be the holy priests spreading positive influence to the world, they all fell into sin and continued to ignore and contempt God. So how would have God felt about his people when he had to tell Hosea to do such things just so that people might realize the problem and come back to God? The first few verses of chapter 1 tells us all this information to help us understand the book Hosea correctly. So the book Hosea can be divided into two parts. The first three chapters show the obscene wife and trustworthy husband living together after their marriage. Their marriage is given as an example to show the relationship between Israelites and God. And from chapter 4 to 14, it shows more of the people continuously ignoring God's promises, worshipping idols, living with wrong desire and ambition, and also God not giving up and continuously convincing people to return to Him. So if we kept the right track in the history of the Bible, we should be able to see that the book Hosea describes the relationship between God and the Israelites. The prophet Hosea is saying that the reason why the nation ended up being destroyed is because the people didn't know God's heart and His true feelings. So he's saying that they didn't know about God properly and made God into an idol, and also they say that they know about God, but they don't know God's sincerity. Because God doesn't directly say how He felt through the Bible, but through the history and how He works through people, we should be able to assume His heart and like what He felt about these people. The North Israel turned God into an idol even from the beginning of the nation when it was formed. So instead of knowing who God is, they just changed God and turned Him into some kind of idol which they want Him to be, which was beginning of all the mistakes. Because the direction was wrong at the first, so no matter how hard they tried, they would just end up further and further away from God and become corrupted at the end. Even all those people who go to church think God in their own way, which is easier for them and less guilty for them. They'll worship God they made, not the God from the Bible. The first thing we need to do when we start to have faith is to know God properly and how He works through us, because we know that He's the loving God, but He could also get sad or angry or upset or firm. So we need to look at the Bible from the start to the end carefully, just so that we don't misinterpret who God is. If you know and understand the Bible properly, your life will be changed naturally. But because you only know some bits or don't know too well, so you don't feel that there's a need to change. So knowing properly is very important as Christians. knowing God properly is our only way to recover our faith. That's why the questions from Balyogyo asks us about who God is and who we are. So once we know the God properly and correctly, we can see the Bible in the right way and understand and take home the real message. So this is how we can reshape and look over the values that we used to believe in and then change to real Christians who will follow whatever God wants them to do. So why do humans have such a wrong idea of God? Firstly, it will be because of our greed. But because God knows the greedy side of humans, He told His chosen people to continue to teach and educate others who doesn't know about God. And secondly, it's because we don't teach other people at all, or we don't teach them correctly. That's why in chapter 4, God warns the priests that they will be punished for encouraging them to be greedy and make themselves full from what the people give in to them. So we should feel the need and have more responsibility over telling other people about the real words of the Bible. The reason why a lot of Christians fall into sin with no shame or guilt is because they choose to live the wrong way with their free will. But Hosea says that it's also because the priests or the kings don't pass on the gospel and educate them properly. So the fault is in the hands of the leaders or the parents. The leaders compromise with their laziness and make up excuses to live with their greed, which stops or disturbs them from passing on God's heart, just because they also feel guilty that they're not living as how God told them to do. The people who corrupt this world is not just a normal or average citizens. The people who seek and have political powers and authority are the ones who tries to be honored and become rich. And also one of the smartest people of the world. They lead the world in wrong ways and blinds people to not see the right things. So we all need to remember that the reason why we get educated and earn high places up in this world is not all about earning more money, but there's also a lot of responsibility that comes with for the society and the people. So will everyone be confident enough to say that they could follow God if He said He would take us tonight? So we gotta see what's the most important thing in our life, not money or our place in this society, but God, but being with God and living with Him. People follow their corrupted instincts and fall into laziness, greed, or become sick of anything spiritual, and us as leaders, we need to tell them to get up and stop being lazy, don't be so greedy, wake up and live with God for a healthy spirit. But nowadays, because this spiritual fight is so difficult, we just please them, fill them up with whatever they want to hear, or feel and commit sin by leading them in the wrong way. At a church where God's heart and His words are passed on to us, the thing people hate the most about the church is actually listening to the sermon. That's why Christians try their best to make it more entertaining for people so that they'll stay at the church and they forget about passing on God's words. So first, they'll see all these fun activities as a way to get closer to the newcomers, but that becomes everything to them, and it just produces Christians who are so distant from the Bible and who doesn't even know God properly. Because the Holy Spirit's duty is not to force or control us, but to respect us and make us realize ourselves through our life about the good and the right things. So all the wisdom we learn from the Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit, we need to be closer to the Bible, willing to hear more from God, have an eye to see this society and differentiate the good and evil, and set some kind of to-do list to practice the Bible in our own lives. We need to know that the Bible provides pathways in our lives and makes us practice and follow the right pathways in our life. So all of us, as leaders of this church, we should not forget about our most important mission to teach and pass on the true words of God from the Bible. That should be the object of any gatherings in church. So we didn't come to church to become like famous celebrities who gets connected to everyone and wants everything to be entertaining. But we are the chosen people of God who focuses more on letting people know the love and justice of God and tell them that God chose us to do the same thing rather than concentrating on relationships with people. Because our corrupted instincts are already lazy and full of greed, the Satan also makes us feel and think to live as how we feel and tempts us to commit sin. We're not saying that life as a Christian is easy in today's world, but as soon as we give up our roles as God's chosen people, we will lead this world into destruction and death, just like how Hosea warned the Israelites. So in church, sometimes we see people that are leaders during the high school or uni times in church, but they become non-Christians when they get older. Just like how God finds the reason of their fall from the priests and the leaders, we are the ones who will be questioned at the time of the judgment whether we try to lead them the right way or not. This is what happens when we choose the easy pathway, not first seeking the Bible, but to help at church and then do any kind of mission before knowing who God is. We shouldn't choose or prefer a short period of happiness or something pleasant over our eternal happiness that we're given for living with God and giving up on our wants that God doesn't like. Although it is very difficult to live with God's standards, learn the correct truth and teach the right things, all our effort is going to produce fruits with the help from God. So God said, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So all our work to walk through the rough pathway in order to live in faith is not going to be pointless, and God will remember our effort and He will reward us. God rewards those who sacrifice themselves to pass on God's heart and teach the people the right way. Matthew chapter 25 verse 23 says, "His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.'" The priests and leaders who doesn't correct people's laziness and turn God into some sort of idol will not be able to avoid God's judgment. When we read through the book Hosea, just don't let it pass through your ears and disappear like that. Listen with your heart and reflect on your life to see whether you've lived the right way or you repeated the same mistake, making wrong ideas of God and believing in the wrong thing. So chapter 1 verse 3 to 4. "So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. The Lord said to Hosea, 'Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel.'" The reason why God told the prophet Hosea to name his son Jezreel makes more sense when we read through the second book of Kings, chapters 9 to 10, looking at the Omri dynasty. The Omri dynasty, which was the time of Ahab, Isabel, and the fourth king Joram, the place where they were killed and ended the dynasty, was actually Jezreel. Jezreel was a place, but it also meant God sprinkled the seeds. The reason why the meaning of Jezreel became God sprinkling the seeds is because the Jezreel plain was very rich and fruitful. And that's why Jezreel was the richest and they harvested the most out of the whole Israel. So it was basically a blessed land. So shouldn't they praise the Lord and thank God for giving them so much grain and fruits every year? But the evil Omri dynasty searched for Baal, Asherah, Molech, and Astaroth to make them into an idol they can worship, and did many obscene things for their blessing. That's why God worked through Jehu to punish the Omri dynasty in Jezreel. So the meaning of chapter 1, verse 4, the Lord said to Hosea, call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. It's basically to tell the Jehu dynasty that they will be punished the same way as the Omri dynasty if they continue to live with their greed and not return to God. If Jehu destroyed the Omri dynasty for not obeying God, he should have realized what was wrong and learned from it and not to repeat the same mistake. But Jehu dynasty also continued to act the evil that all the Omri kings of Omri dynasty did. So Jehu wasn't someone who obeyed God. He was actually a person who had so much greed when he received the opportunity to hold power and authority. And this led to his people dying and their dynasty just ending like that. That's why God is telling the Jeroboam II that he'll take them to the place where Omri dynasty was punished and punish the Jehu dynasty the same way. And God purposely named Hosea's son Jezreel to remember this thing, this fact. So if we read through the Bible referring to the history, we'll realize God's true message and it will be easier to grasp what God wants to tell us through these stories. Chapter 1, verse 6, Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer show love to Israel that I should at all forgive them. The name Lo-Ruhamah means not loved. And the verse 8 and 9, after she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. Then the Lord said, call him Lo-Ammi, for ye are not my people, and I am not your God. The name Lo-Ammi means not my people. So these verses are not like a threat that God will kill all these people. Because the people ignored God when he saved them from Egypt and sent them to Canaan, rejected God when he sent the judges to save them from crisis whenever the neighboring nations tried to invade them, gave kings when they asked for it, sent prophets, and even earthquakes and few years of famine couldn't return the people to God. So God tried so many different methods to call out to his people to come back to him. So this is not a threat, it's more like desperate calling from God, so that he doesn't have to kill them all. This is also the same reason why God sent the prophet Amos, Isaiah, Micah, and Hosea. So I hope you all can hear God's desperate calling and cry outs while reading through the book Hosea. This is how we can assume that Hosea felt at the time and how God felt when he worked through him. If we can't understand God's heart while reading the Bible, then we will not realize the true meaning of the Bible. So chapter 2, rebuke your mother, rebuke her, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. Let her remove the adulterous look from her face and the unfaithfulness from between her breasts. Otherwise I will strip her naked and make her as bare as on the day she was born. I will make her like a desert, turn her into parched land, and slay her with thirst. I will not show my love to her children because they are the children of adultery. So the life of Hosea must have been so difficult and dreadful. His sermon was not based on other people as an example, but of his wife Gomer. If you see a pastor from church who talks about his wife cheating on him and how kids behave, how embarrassing would it be? So when Hosea shared his testimonies about his family, people who were listening, they were just gossiping about how bad the wife was. which Hosea then used to tell them that you people are doing the same things to God. He kept questioning them, aren't what you Israelites do to God just like what my wife does to me? Chapter 2 verse 8, she has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine and oil, who lavished on her the silver and gold which they used for Baal. God was the one who saved them from death and led them to the land of opportunity and gave all the grain and fruits in Jezreel plain. But people are taking God's gift to Baal, Asherah, and the golden calf and using God's gift to worship the idols. The verse 9, therefore I will take away my grain when it ripens and my new wine when it is ready. I will take back my oil and my linen intended to cover her naked body. So there's no end to God's love and patience, but there is an end to people who still choose to live with sin and how their thoughts take them. That's why God is sad and pitiful towards us, because He already knows that only end to our greed is death and pain. That's why even the people are dying from sins, He still calls out to them. He created us carefully with all His love and gave us free will as human beings. But people still betray God, worship idols, and close their ears and heart from God's calling and still ignore God. However, God still approaches you, calls you, cares for you, and lives with you to help with any troubles, just for you to be happy with God. And all He's asking from us is to believe in Him and obey His words, not become like a millionaire or some sort of like a hard accomplishment. Look at chapter 3 of the book Hosea. It shows how God felt at the time. The Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lithic of barley. So what does this mean? Hosea's wife had been leaving home again and again, no matter how many times he brought her back home. So when Hosea came back home one day, the kids will be fighting and crying because they've been starving, and they'll look dirty because they haven't been washed or cared. And when he asks the kids where the mom was, then they'll just answer that she left them with another man. So when Hosea walked a long way to find his wife, who was living with another man, the man was asking for money if he wanted to take her with him. So he's basically asking the husband to pay money just to take his wife home. The husband, Hosea, is trying so hard to take her back, but the wife is hugging the man while they are having all these conversations. So Hosea just lived dumbfounded, but God told him not to give up on her and take her home. That's the heart of God. He is really the loving God. So even though it's our fault, God is always there to solve it for us. As an example, we see God sending Jesus down to carry all of our sins and sacrificing His life on the cross just to give us salvation. But we shouldn't misinterpret God's love and Jesus' love and think that we can live however we want and go to heaven because He is the forgiving God. God gave life as a sacrifice to get rid of sin, but how can we enjoy sinning and live with sin knowing what God did for us? God is anxious and worried that people are getting closer to death. Through the first three chapters of Hosea, can you see how God feels towards the people and how hurt He is? God does not give up on any single soul. He doesn't give up even though you dishonor Him in public, portray the wrong images of God to other people, live dissipated lives, setting bad examples as God's people. He's always telling them to step away from these kind of behavior and let's go back to God, where their eternal life is just gained for them being who they are. I hope you can really feel the same things that God felt towards His people. And I hope this is a time for you to reflect on your life, and we will continue on next week.